The leftist political party and former rebel group known as the Farabundo Marti National Liberation Front and the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, or CISPES, recently celebrated their 45th anniversaries. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Savannah Landau, the Western Regional Organizer for CISPES, and he asked her how her organization is able to function at a time when El Salvador is under the repressive authoritarian rule of President Nayib Bukele.
I think the only way that you can, through people power, and a lot of our new members, many of them Salvadoran or Central American like myself, are seeing this rhetoric from the Bukele regime drip into our families or into our communities. And so there's been more discussion about how to reach the people and how to build more of a mass-based movement. Of course, our goals have remained the same, to accompany the popular social movement in El Salvador and to cut or restrict military and security assistance given to El Salvador, which allows the Bukele regime to arrest thousands of people, especially opponents who pose a political threat to his power.
So how is the FMLN able to operate in Bukele's El Salvador?
Back in the summer of 2023, prior to the presidential election, the Legislative Assembly in El Salvador illegally redistricted the country.
Sounds familiar.
Exactly, right? It's, again, parallel to what's happening here. You know, many of us say that everything El Salvador has experienced is just, unfortunately, 6 years ahead of us. But frankly, Nuevas Ideas, the political party of Nayib Bukele, is not actually that popular. Nayib Bukele is probably the most popular figure. However, every other political official below him is really not. And they know that. So what they did is they redistricted the country. Unfortunately, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but it gave his party leverage and essentially completely booted the FMLN from having a political opportunity to attaining a seat in the Legislative Assembly.
And how about the ARENA party? Are they still active?
They are still active as well. Many of them are not in support of Nayib Bukele. In his framing, however, he conflates the two very often, which is why we aim to preserve historical memory, because his framing of El Salvador's history is that two violent forces were killing each other and killing other people who were innocent. And the end result of that war was nothing formative. However, we push back against that and honor the lives that were lost, and also, you know, highlight why compañeros, campesinos in the rural areas were brought to the point of taking up arms to fight for a democracy in their country, and that the U.S. funded death squads to target them and other innocent people. But yes, so that's just to say Bukele is really good at kind of framing his political opposition or criticism as this like abstract enemy against his goodwill, good policy.
Is he one of those leaders who wants to be or has cemented this legally to be president for life, that kind of thing?
So his current term is unconstitutional, and the Legislative Assembly did recently allow, I believe, for him to run for another term. And many have, you know, said that they believe he's going to continue running. And there's a big concern that he's going to do all that he can to remain in power.
So he would probably try to do that through what he considers legal means rather than declaring martial law, you think?
Unfortunately, he has declared martial law through the state of exception. So constitutional rights have already been revoked. However, he is a bit careful. I think he's going by both avenues, but even the legal avenues is kind of similar to how Trump is doing it, right? It's like, oh, I'm taking this avenue, but I'm obviously bulldozing it because I have the majority in the branches of government, so I can kind of do as I please.
So it's basically a rubber stamp legislature, would you say? No real opposition at all?
Because of his majority and his political party's majority in the legislative assembly, I would say so.
And yet popular organizations continue to what would you say, thrive or somehow survive?
I would say both. I would say absolutely they're doing their best to survive. They're pushing through remarkably. On September 15th, they held a march for Independence Day, demanding an end to the state of exception, freedom to those who were arbitrarily detained and have been in these prisons for 3 years, many of them not seeing a courtroom. They've also called for freedom of political prisoners who have criticized the government or have posed some form of political threat, you know, of Bukele, because they might be elected in an important position, and you know, work to help Bukele's framing of the opposition of the left in El Salvador. And the other demand at that march was to reverse the law. I feel it's important since it affects all Salvadorans with access to water, that many Salvadorans who marched were demanding the preservation of the anti-mining law, which protects hundreds of thousands of people's water from being contaminated. And generally, the economic conditions have worsened massively, that, you know, the Bukele propaganda machine doesn't often talk about. So this has caused mass layoffs, worsened working conditions, and now the block of popular resistance, in Spanish is El Bloque de Resistencia y Rebeldía Popular, along with a workers' movement, announced a march on October 31st, because it is the Salvadoran Union Day, to condemn these mass layoffs and fight for better working conditions in El Salvador.
So there is a labor movement that's, would you say, fairly strong still in El Salvador?
It has been hit, but I would say that it's still going. I think that many are still in the streets fighting together for what they can.
Was the state of exception supposed to run out at a certain time, or was it indefinite?
The state of exception was supposed to expire after 30 days. What the purpose of the state of exception is for is in the scenario of, say, a natural disaster, massive earthquake hits the country, or a hurricane. The state of exception is meant for, you know, an emergency, a moment where the country is in an actual crisis, and after 30 days, if it must be extended, it must be approved by, I believe it must be approved by the Legislative Assembly. However, that would be, you know, for constitutional reasons, it would not be often considered, because it suspends a citizen's constitutional rights. So yes, after 30 days, it must be suspended.
Does CISPAS have a lobbying effort in Washington to try to stop the funding to El Salvador? I don't know if it's still true, but it seems like the U.S. would have to approve the human rights record of a country before giving certain types of aid. I don't even know if the Trump administration pays attention to that.
Yeah, I know. Yes, we are still working on that effort, both in D.C., but also in our local chapters, because they need to hear from their constituents that, you know, we're deeply concerned, either because many of us are of the diaspora. I actually just spoke to someone on the phone who told me that two of their cousins were taken under the state of exception. So, you know, who knows who else has had family taken and they don't know what to do. And we need to let our congressional members know that this is happening to their constituents. Of course, the Republicans have the majority And our momentum is to push Democrats to move, to act on this. And that way, when they take a majority, they do move on this. They know already what's been happening in El Salvador, as we saw with Kilma Abreu Garcia and the 200 plus migrants being taken to Sikot. So we continue to push both our senators and representatives here locally, as well in DC, to, you know, assess what are these human rights conditions in El Salvador? Why are we continuing to give military and security assistance to Bukele's regime? And also, you know, pointing out the parallels. When Bukele met Trump earlier this year, he told Trump that he liberated the country from gangs. And Trump said he loved that phrase. And what did he say when DC was occupied by the National Guard? He said he's liberating the city from crime. And, you know, he used that narrative with San Francisco, as it almost happened here. So, you know, these incidents aren't happening in a vacuum, and we need our Congress members to do something about it.
Is El Salvador the kind of country where people are disappeared, or do the friends and relatives kind of know where they are?
Unfortunately, the practice of disappearing people has begun because of the state of exception. We have held some delegations where we had the opportunity to meet with family members from the organization, the Movement for Victims of the Regime. And they told us what happens is that their loved one is taken. They try to go to the prison or the police the police station. They try to ask for where their loved one is, and they're often given nothing or a really unorganized kind of bureaucratic map of what to do. And if they do figure out where their loved one is, they have to pay upwards of like $100 or $200 to make sure that their loved one has food, clothing, hygienic products, and so on. And it's not even guaranteed that to them that they got it. There's no notification that they get. And, you know, that's for people in El Salvador. So again, for those that are outside of the country who have families still in El Salvador, it's even more difficult because there's just no transparency of where people are being taken.
So I would imagine that El Salvador is high on the lists of objectionable countries as far as the human rights groups go.
Yes. Yeah. Several institutions such as Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, have come out to condemn the conditions in El Salvador. And it's no secret that there are these criticisms out there. However, even though they go often ignored by the higher powers that be, which we know why they're being ignored, it is still important to mobilize people and organize them locally in order to amp up the pressure.
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
Yeah, just I believe with this political moment we're in, I'm sure you've interviewed people about, you know, the news around Trump mobilizing mass amount of ICE agents in the city, as well as the National Guard. I think this is an important moment for all of us to, of course, struggle here together locally, but also to look at countries like El Salvador, Palestine, the Philippines, and so on, and learning from them. And of course, in order to learn from them, we must also act in solidarity with these movements, because we're witnessing how the people really only have each other. And as CISPES, we look forward to sharing more about how we plan to navigate and adapt our strategy in order to be a part of, to continue being a part of that movement and building people power as we go forward in this moment.
That's Savannah Landau of the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, or CISPES, speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on the 9th of November, 2025.